This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. This week on Case Closed, our hour of crime stories begins with Let George Do It. We'll hear his episode from December 5th, 1949, titled Too Near the Sky. After that, it's Rogues Gallery and Blonde's Preferred Gentleman, their story from October 4th, 1945.
Personal notice, danger's my stock and trade. If the job's too tough for you to handle, you got a job for me, George Valentine. Write full details.
Standard of California, on behalf of independent Chevron gas stations and standard stations throughout the West, invites you to Let George Do It. Too Near the Sky, another adventure of George Valentine.
Dear Mr. Valentine, my telephone number is Gramercy 3747. Can you remember that? Gramercy 3747? I've investigated you thoroughly, and I know you won't get it wrong. You won't forget. A man as good-looking as you are just couldn't be irresponsible, at least not about women, or maybe it's the other way around. It doesn't make sense. I know I don't make sense, but then if I did, that would show that I wasn't afraid, wouldn't it? And then I wouldn't be needing you, would I? Please, 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 the moment you get this letter, this is Sonia Belsing, Gramercy 3747.
But we've been trying to telephone you all afternoon, Mrs. Belsing.
Oh, I know, my line's busy. It's always busy. But, my dear, you said Mr. Valentine.
I'm right here on the extension, Mrs. Belsing.
Extension? Oh, my. It's just like one of those quiz programs calling, isn't it?
Yeah. They have a hard time getting answers, too.
But, Mr. Valentine, all I want is for you to come to a party.
You want us to come to a party?
No one must know who you really are, so you'll be Mr. Valentine.
Huh?
But my cousin or something from out of town or Sioux City or Boston, do you understand?
Well,
oh, but Miss Brooks.
Yes?
He can't have a date, if you know what I mean.
Oh. Oh, well, I guess I could be Mrs. Valentine. I wouldn't mind that.
No, that's one thing you mustn't be.
Oh.
His sister, that's it. You'll be...
Mrs. Belsing, please, you said you were afraid. Of whom? Of what? Why?
There's an old, dear, dear friend of mine who's just back from Lake Tahoe for the first time in a year. Vivian Hargrove, she's giving the party in her penthouse. The 32nd floor, that's the top floor of the Hargrove Sims building.
Yes, okay, so much for that.
Are you superstitious?
Huh?
I mean, it's rather a strange place. I hope it doesn't make you uneasy or nervous. Vivian, I mean. Oh, yes, and there's someone I want you to introduce yourself to. Eric Sims. But don't really say anything. You'll understand why when I meet you there. If we can't talk, I'll write a little note giving you instructions.
Mrs. Belsing, I'd rather understand everything right now.
So would I, Mr. Valentine, but there's no hurry. And besides, something has come up. What I mean is, by the time I see you, I'm sure I'll have the answers for you. I'm not a coward, and I've never made a false accusation in my life, but I am superstitious.
But why do you want us there? Superstitious about what?
Oh, Mr. Valentine, murder, of course. Isn't that your business?
Oh, push the button again, George.
Well, I did, but the arrow just stays there on the 32nd floor. Crazy place.
But, George, we're late. Try one of the other buttons.
Well, the other elevators aren't automatic, so they're all closed up for the night.
Oh, fine. Me in my long dress and these high heels and their new shoes.
Well, Angel, we take a case from a middle-aged maniac. We don't even know what she wants, so we shouldn't complain about walking up a mere 32 flights of stairs, should we?
I can't help it, George. This hike toward the sky gives me the queerest feeling.
Yeah, I know. Nothing is deader than an office building at night.
And shadows. Lots of shadows. You know, I think if I believed in ghosts, I'd imagine them living in a place that... George, what is it?
It's nothing, Angel. You just bumped into a fire extinguisher.
Oh.
What's more dangerous to us is the sign over it.
What do you mean?
Yeah. It only says the 21st floor.
Oh.
least it should be a swanky party. Real honest-to-gosh penthouse, no doubt about that.
I wonder. I wonder if there really is anybody up there. What we're walking up to. What kind of people...
Hello.
Hello.
I heard you on the stairs. Elevator stuck again.
Yes, that's right.
Well, this is the 31st floor. Where are you?
We're on our way to a party.
A party?
Yeah, upstairs, Mrs. Hargrove.
At... Oh, I see.
So, if you'll excuse us...
Oh, no. Excuse me, please. I didn't mean to be rude or curious. You see, I'm the general manager of this company. These are the executive officers on this floor, and my name is Eric Sims.
Mr. Sims?
Come in, won't you? Got a chance to catch your breath.
Well, thanks, Mr. Sims. We will. I'm George Valentine, and this is my sister, Claire.
Pleasure. And you do look charming, Miss Valentine.
Oh, thank you.
Valentine.
We're cousins of Sonia Belsing.
Oh, of course. Sonia's quite a person, isn't she? I love her. I suppose she must have talked about me. She usually rattles away about everyone she knows.
No, I don't think so, Mr. Sims. But coming up, we were a little curious.
Yes, the size of your building.
Oh, our company's just on two floors. Real estate investments, Mr. Valentine.
Oh, I get it. You built the place.
That's it. And this is my bailiwick in here.
Oh, my, what a lovely office.
Perhaps you'd like a drink after all that exercise.
Oh, no, thank you. But I am warm. Do you mind if I open a window?
Of course not. Whatever you wish.
Those last 10 flights just about ruined me.
Use both hands, Miss Valentine.
What?
Get the window on both sides. It sticks. Oh. It's been painted just yesterday. The entire office.
Oh, yes.
You know, I'm not sure I like the color, though. It was Vivian Hargrove's idea. We wrote the decorator from Tahoe, and he came storming in here like a wounded hen. I couldn't argue with him. What do you think, Miss Valentine?
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. George, come here a minute.
Yeah?
Look. Just look down there.
Way up in the air, aren't we?
31 stories. Might as well be 31 miles. Look at those cars in the street. They're so tiny.
Mm-hmm. Say, what's the overhang up there? Cuts off the view above.
It's a guardrail for the penthouse.
Guardrail?
Safety ledge, that's all. Just put up.
Well, there certainly isn't one down here. George, look the way the wall of the building just falls off below you. Down, down.
Excuse me, the draft. I have a little cold.
Of course. I was just enjoying the view.
Look here, I don't mean to be rude tonight, but I've been finishing some special work on my desk.
Yeah, sure, Mr. Sims, we understand. We'll go on upstairs to the party.
Well, Sonia may have given you the wrong impression. There really isn't a party.
What?
Huh?
It'll be just us, I mean. The few of us, the lonely people in the tower. Don't let us throw you. We'll manage to have fun somehow.
I'm glad to have you, both of you.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Hargrove. If we'd known...
And I love the way you're dressed. I'll bet it was Sonia's idea. She thinks people should dress like Englishmen in the jungle. Oh, that sounds awful. All mixed up just like her.
Well, Sonia's an Elsa Maxwell.
Isn't she? Only I do wish there were going to be more of us. So far, it's only me and Rock Mullinoff over there.
Well, don't let it worry you. Crowds scare me.
You're silly if you're polite. See, Mr. Valentine, I know exactly why you're here.
Oh, do you?
Yes. And I think you're beautiful like all the rest of them she brings. But I'm not in the least interested in your work.
You're not?
No. I've only been back in town a few days, and Sonia's been haunting me with men. Me, a married woman, you understand?
Huh?
I said me, a married woman, and I love my husband.
Oh, shut up, will you?
Shut up yourself!
Shut up!
Well, Rachmaninoff's quite a little gentleman, huh?
Forgive us. He's my brother, Peter Cannon.
And he knows not what he does. Hello.
How do you do?
Brothers and sisters should... Pour yourself a drink, won't you?
Not yet, thank you.
You look pretty well poured.
Good guess tonight, Vivian. It's an improvement.
Don't you ever get tired of the same tune, Mr. Cannon?
Oh, no, it's the apartment. Tired of the same world.
Nuts. Let's be nice, huh? I'm a host. I'll show you around.
My husband's apartment.
Vivian, please.
It is.
She means Hargrove did the decor.
Oh, well, it is rather an unusual place, isn't it?
Yeah, strange decorations.
Oh, I don't know. It's a hobby, that's all. He collected stuff.
He does.
Vivian.
What's in all the cases here?
My golly, George, look. Handcuffs, blackjacks, knives, dozens of them.
Mayhem and violence. Don't look shocked. It's just a hobby. Oh, but here, here. Out here are the real prizes.
Masks. All over the wall.
Yeah. Rows and rows of masks. But they're all...
Yes, Mr. Valentine. Death masks.
Sure, that's right. Some from the South Sea, some from Africa. It's a good collection. It's one of the best in the world.
My husband is obsessed by the idea of death.
Oh, cut it out, will you? Guy's got a penthouse. Why not be unique about it? Now, some people like zebra skins... Well, he got a bang out of this stuff.
He is. He's obsessed.
Now, look. Look, even out here, the roof garden. See the statues? Sure, it's wacky, but a hobby. One guy's hobby, that's all.
Are you superstitious, Mr. Valentine? Are you? Are you?
Well, I'm beginning to think maybe I am.
Feel the wind. Look at the stars. It's a penthouse with wacky decorations. And that's all. Just picture a penthouse.
Of course, Mr. Valentine, my husband is. My husband...
Claudia, please, be quiet, will you? Mrs. Hargrove, I know we've intruded and you don't want us, but let's get this straight. When I heard you'd been living in Nevada the past year, I naturally assumed...
Oh, no, we're not divorced. We're quite happy. We're quite...
For the last time, Vivian, will you get out of that present tense?
Take it easy, Buster.
No. Her husband's been dead for the past 6 months.
He says if you live too close to the stars, you've got to fall sometime. And he walks out here alone. And he moves toward the railing. Like this. And he stands on the edge and stares down. And then very smoothly, like a shooting star, aimed at the pole.
Mrs. Hargrove.
What? Oh. Oh, Mr. Valentine, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He's dead. I know he's dead. He fell.
Well, there's no need for you to go along, too, you know.
Oh, I won't. Forgive me. I'm not really out of my mind.
Oh, no. No, not much. But you're gonna be, Vivi, if you don't stop it.
Peter, please. It's this place. This crazy, haunted place. Sweet slice of heaven where just you and I. I killed my husband. That's what it is, Mr. Valentine. 6 months ago, I killed my husband.
Return to tonight's adventure of George Valentine in just a moment. Winter weather in the West offers a grand variety of sports, but it nearly always means extra work for your car's battery. That's one good reason why you should rely on Chevron Supreme gasoline, for it's a premium quality gasoline specially blended to give faster starts with less battery strain in the coldest weather. But equally important, Chevron Supreme is the gasoline that's climate-tailored. It's tailored to each different season and to the different altitude and temperature zone throughout the West. So wherever you drive, rely on Chevron Supreme to get the best out of your car. Faster starts, faster pickup in traffic, ping-free power on hills. Try a tank full tomorrow. You'll find you can't buy a better gasoline for today's high-compression engines. Ask for Chevron Supreme at independent Chevron gas stations and at standard stations where they say and mean we take better care of your car. Back to tonight's adventure of George Valentine. A penthouse, too close to the sky, decorated with weapons and curios and death masks. Sonia Belsing, who asked you to this strange place and this strange party that isn't a party, hasn't even shown up yet. You're not even sure why you're here. But if your name is George Valentine, you have a pretty good idea what needs to be done. When Vivian Hargrove screams out that her husband is dead, that 6 months ago he fell 32 stories to the street, and then almost casually adds the remark that she killed him.
Mr. Sims, what sort of a man was your partner?
Hargrove? Oh, well, he drank a bit, like his brother-in-law Peter there. But he was big, hearty, the greeter of the firm.
With an obsession about death?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And now his wife is all...
I really don't know Vivian very well. She's been away so much. See here, I really think it would be better if you and Miss Valentine would...
Well... Yes, yes. Okay, we'll be going. Oh, how is she, Angel?
Oh, hello, Mr. Tim. She's all right now, George.
Perhaps I'd better go
Excuse
in.
Excuse me. Did you find the telephone, George?
Telephone?
Yeah, I did. I wonder if you'd mind if I went in to see Mrs. Hargrove, Mr. Sims. I'd like to tell her good night.
Well, of course.
In the meantime, I'll give you a chance to go over and pour some black coffee on those piano strings.
Say you use the telephone.
Mrs. Hargrove, when I hear something I don't understand, I like to get an answer fast and straight from the horse's mouth.
In this case, the police, Mrs. Hargrove.
Police?
You said you'd killed your husband. Well, I didn't tell them why, but I asked them what happened. They say 6 months ago there was an investigation that your husband had committed suicide.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I just thought I'd say it. But you really know it, don't you?
Yes. It was very kind at the time. I first knew it when the wire came. The ranger had left it at my cabin.
Wire? Ranger?
I was up at Lake Tahoe. Didn't Sonia tell you?
But why do you accuse yourself
of... guilt, I suppose. I was in Nevada because I was going to get a divorce. I wasn't patient enough. I left him down here alone with his strange obsessions instead of helping
But that scarcely caused...
A feeling of guilt is a terrible thing. It gives you dreams. Like pretending he's alive when I really know he's dead. But I didn't ever act this way or feel this way until I came back for the first time a few days ago.
Why did you come back to the same place at all?
Well, the furniture had to be sold, the apartment leased, that sort of business. I certainly don't intend to stay here. I wasn't worried about it. My brother was coming with me.
Oh, yeah, that brother of yours is a big help.
Oh, he doesn't know any better, that's all. It's just a building somehow. The tower... Even before I came back, I was a little nervous. I ordered my husband's old office, Mr. Sims now, repainted, so I wouldn't remember him. I started out in that office. I was my husband's secretary several years ago. But the things up here I had to face, and I couldn't. All the souvenirs of death. I got so mixed up.
Why, Mrs. Hargrove? Maybe because you still think your husband's collection was just a hobby, the way your brother said? You've never thought it was an obsession that led to suicide?
I wish Sonia were here. She called from the drugstore if it were just the elevator.
Oh, everybody's upset. Maybe no one close to him thought he'd actually do it. Only in your case, you can't see any other explanation, and so you develop all this stuff about your own...
Valentine, no. No, no, Mr. Valentine, please.
But you...
No, I won't listen. I'm mixed up enough. I can't believe that. It had to be suicide.
All right, all right, all right. I'm sorry. Forget it.
You're afraid I'll go spinning off the handle again, aren't
you? No, skip it, will you, please?
I know the elevator wouldn't stop, Sonia. But maybe I should see about having it fixed if it hasn't been...
I've already spoken to your brother about...
Oh, Peter doesn't know what to do. Down in the office is a separate house phone to the building engineer. I'll run down and talk to him.
Yeah, that might be a good idea, Mrs. Petro.
Give me something to do, you mean.
Maybe.
I'm all right, really, I am. But we'll do lots of things tonight. And singing and dancing, we'll have so much fun. It'll keep my mind off of all the place.
And, Angel, we don't even know yet why we're here.
Well, George, it wasn't just to take care of an hysterical woman. Sonia said she was afraid...
Come on.
What's that?
What do you think you're doing?
Hey, what is this?
Look at him, handcuffed. I did it.
Handcuffed?
Get me out of these.
Valentine, take that key away from
me. Oh, no, you don't. No. English handcuffs at that. They're antiques.
Hey, what...
Now I'll try and find your key.
All right, Buster, so you threw it to the birds. What's the big idea?
I was just standing here of all the ridiculous notions for a joke.
Leave him here, Mr. Valentine, and come with me, will you? Come with me out to the elevator. The arrow points to the ground floor, you see?
And earlier the one down there was pointing up here. So since then it might
have... No, look at this arrow. You reach up, you can grab it.
Yeah, it's swinging loose.
It's been pulled that way, so nobody would guess...
What do you mean?
...that the elevator isn't broken at all.
But it's not downstairs. It's right here.
Is that...
Yeah. Sonia Bells.
Yeah. Yeah, she's dead, all right. Been dead for some time, I guess. Since before we got here.
I was asleep in my room all afternoon.
Oh.
It's a knife, huh? More stuff from that crazy collection.
And George, here's her purse.
Yeah, we'll take a look.
Write the note. You know, the note she told us she'd write, remember? To you with the instructions.
Here, let me see that.
Oh, no, you don't.
Let me see it. I'm going to call the police
and
tell them.
Get it going fast.
No.
Now stand still, will you? She's calling the police.
Well, I got to tell them that Sims did it. He did it.
Sure, bright boy with the handcuffs. Who says so?
Sonia didn't like him, see? She was afraid of him. She wanted Vivi to get interested in other men so Sims wouldn't try to get next to her.
You make as much sense.
Oh, I know I've been drinking, but believe me, nobody close to Hargrove ever thought he killed himself. And it drives all of us crazy. But his death's masks were just a laugh, that's all. They were a big gag to pull at parties.
Okay, Buster,
don't you see? Sonia was wise. She thought it was his partner, it was Sims, who murdered Hargrove. And I'm going in and help. Oh.
Now, Petey, you're going to stay right here for a while. Pleasant dreams.
Yeah, I talked to Lieutenant Riley. He'll be here as fast as he can.
Well, let's see that note Sonia Belsing wrote.
You know, George, it's funny. It was our instructions, all right, but she was going to fire us.
What?
Yes, it just says she's sorry to have bothered us, but she's decided to handle matters in another way. And, quote, don't say anything to anyone. Please, 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 Sonia Belsing. Huh? Darling, she must have been threatened. That's the only explanation. So she did know something. And look here, on the outside of the purse.
Paint. Little spot of fresh paint.
Mm-hmm. The same color as that office.
Hey, Mr. Sims. Mr. Sims. Angel, where is he?
Well, George, I've been at the phone. But he has handcuffs on anyway.
What difference does that make?
Well, he's gone.
I know, and I've been asleep at the switch. I let Vivian Hargrove go downstairs to that very same office.
Oh,
it's Sims' office, all right. Come on, through here.
Oh,
you're all right. Hang on.
It's on! Oh, it was trying to push me.
Oh, George.
Yeah.
He tried to kill me. I was here in the office. He followed me. He had those handcuffs on him. He hit me with them.
Come on, George.
Take it easy. Get away from the sill.
It was awful. He was insane. He knew, I guess, that he killed my husband.
Mrs. Hargrove, it's all right now.
He knocked me down. And then he opened the window. I struck him. When I heard you coming, I screamed. What's that?
The police. I sent for them. Too bad they couldn't have flown.
Oh, Mr. Valentine.
Now, look, Mrs. Hargrove, stop crying on my shoulder.
If you live too close to the stars, you've got to fall sometimes.
Stop it. His death was useless. And I'm sick of your acting.
What?
But if it hadn't happened, I guess we never would have caught you.
Caught? Yes. You saved my life.
What did you do, Mrs. Hargrove? Knock Sims out, have him ready, and when you heard us coming, give him the final shove so you could start screaming out the next act?
Mr. Valentine, he hit me. He hauled me over to the window.
He was handcuffed.
George, that doesn't make any difference. You yourself...
How did he open the window, Mrs. Hargrove? No, don't touch it. Police like fingerprints. Come on now, how did he open it? It was part of your own act to order this place repainted, remember? So the sash sticks. They always do. You've got to push on both sides at once. And how are you going to do that, Mrs. Hargrove, when you're wearing handcuffs?
No, I'm an idiot.
No, Peter. You've just been trying to dodge the truth. And after all, Sonia Belsing picked on Mr. Sims just as you did.
Well, that's what she was going to tell us originally. Only then, the paint on the purse. Sonia got together with Sims. Began to realize what he'd already begun to suspect. That it was Vivian all along.
That's when Sonia wrote the note we found, saying she'd handle it some other way. Well, it's not easy for a best friend or a business partner or a brother to decide what to do about a woman they suspect of murder.
I still can't see Vivian doing it.
Sure, it's hard to face, Peter. But Mrs. Hargrove admitted to the police she wasn't really at Tahoe. She was down here.
Yeah, I know, I heard her. But why?
Well, maybe she was ambitious, I don't know. Secretary married one of the partners. He was going to divorce her, so she knocked him off. Half owner. Then 6 months later, she comes back with a neurotic act to cover knocking off the other partner, Sims. And she'd own the whole company.
Only she realized people were getting suspicious. She had to get rid of Sonia first, and then in we walked. No wonder Vivian was so scared and upset.
Hey, Peter, why do you keep playing that record?
It doesn't bother me. So happens I like my sister.
Yeah, kid, I know.
Just picture a penthouse way up in the sky. George, I still get dizzy just thinking...
Hey, that's not the line to remember, Angel.
Mm-hmm.
We can thank our lucky star that we're living as we are. Let's go, Brooksy.
Man doesn't have to lift the hood of his car to keep it running, naturally. He can put some gas in the tank, forget all about the vital parts under the hood, and his car will run all right for a while. But if you want both safety and savings for your own car, it's wise to have your station man look under the hood regularly. At standard stations and at independent Chevron gas stations, the underhood checkup is part of their protective service. That's when they can catch a worn fan belt or leaky radiator hose, things that might lead to major repair bills. Another example is regular oil check. Maybe 9 times out of 10, they'll tell you your oil is at the safe level. But when fresh new oil is needed to avoid costly engine damage, that's when protective service pays its own way many times over. A few minutes of your time tomorrow for an underhood checkup may save you hours of delay and expense the day after. So why not stop at an independent Chevron gas station or at a standard station where they say and mean we take better care of your car. Tonight's adventure of George Valentine has been brought to you by Standard of California on behalf of independent Chevron gas stations and standard stations throughout the West. Robert Bailey is starred as George with Francis Robinson as Brooksy. Let George Do It is written by David Victor and Jackson Gillis and directed by Don Clark. Also heard in the cast were Sarah Selby as Sonia, Robert Griffin as Sims, Lorene Tuttle as Vivian, and Jack Edwards as Peter. The music is composed and presented by Eddie Dunstetter, your announcer, John Heaston. Listen again next week, same time, same station, to Let George Do It. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.
W. Fitch Company, makers of those fine Fitch products, presents Dick Powell as Private Detective Richard Rogue in Rogue's Gallery.
Rogue speaking. Well, I was suffering one of my regular attacks of rigor indolence last year when I decided to commune with nature in a gentle sort of a way. So I made a reservation at the L7 Dude Ranch out in the desert. The afternoon I arrived at the ranch, I was lolling around the swimming pool, exposing my epidermis to the sun and admiring the scenery, when part of the scenery walked up and took a poke at another part of the scenery over some of the most beautiful scenery I've ever seen in or out of a white satin bathing suit. The poker was a paunchy 45, the pokey a very slick 30. And the cause of it all was a lovely, lovely 25. Blonde and definitely feminine. I stayed out of it.
I've told you for the last time, Harding, I want you to stay away from my wife.
Brian, please, you've been drinking. This is no place to settle your quarrel with Tom.
I'm just as sick of you as you are of me, Mills, and so's Anne. You're no good to anybody.
Tom, don't. Not here. Tom.
If you don't stay away from my wife, I'll kill you,
oh,
Harding.
Please, come on, Brian. Let's get out of here, please. Tom, I'll see you later.
This is the last time I'm going to warn you, Harding. If you don't stay away from me,
I'll... shut up. You're drunk again. Talking that sort, you're not going to kill anybody. I'll see you later, Anne.
Come on, Brian. Let's go now.
Would you mind talking to me? I'm a little embarrassed.
Oh, hello. Why don't you just look the other way? That's what I'm doing.
Maybe it's because I want to see Tom Harding get what's coming to him.
You don't like Mr. Harding?
Well, no. He considers himself the world's most attractive man.
Well, that's silly. I'm the world's most attractive man.
How nice. I'm the world's most attractive woman.
Well, what a couple we'd make. You like to know my name?
I know you. You're Richard Rogue.
Been reading my mail.
No, but you're a very famous person. I've seen your picture in the paper lots of times.
Society page, of course.
Was it? I don't remember.
Well, that's thoughtful of you. What's your name?
Lucia Logan.
Should I know it?
Not unless you're looking for a secretary. That's what I am.
Like to ride?
Love it. Some of my best friends are horses.
You're lucky. Some of my best friends are skunks. Want to go for an early morning ride with me tomorrow?
Tomorrow we greet the dawn on horseback and,
Yeah?
I'll wear a coat to keep me warm, Richard.
Ah, you know, Lucia, darling, this scene brings out the Gene Autry in me. Yes, sir. If I had my guitar, I'd sing for you, so help me. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie. Yeah, this is for me, baby. Yep, someday I'm going to save enough money to buy me a ranch out here, and then I'm through with the crowded city. Yep. Me for the wide open spaces, with my dogs and my horses and...
And a pretty little partner to cook and sew.
And milk the cows and throw down the hay into the horses' stalls.
I'm not listening anymore.
Oh? What's ever happened to the pioneer woman?
Richard, look.
Hmm? Where?
Over there, where I'm pointing. There's a man lying there.
Huh? Yeah. Come on. He's hurt. Must have been thrown from his horse or something.
Yeah. I can't hang on, Richard.
Well, take it easy, then. Oh, boy. Whoa, whoa. Settle down. Whoa, whoa. Oh. Oh, no. This couldn't happen to me.
Who is it, Richard?
It's Tom Harding, baby. Stay on your horse.
Is he unconscious?
No. He's been shot. He's dead. I'll be back in a moment to tell you the rest of the story of Blood on the Sand, but first here's Jim Doyle, the man from the Fitch Company, who's going to give you men a shaving tip you can't afford to skip.
That's right, Dick. I want to tip you men off to the grandest, smoothest shave you've had in a long time.
It's the kind of shave you can have all the time when you use Fitch's No Brush shaving cream. You see, Fitch's No Brush contains not one, but three important shaving ingredients. These three ingredients are blended together in a smooth, rich cream that lubricates your face instantly and prepares it for the shave. Your razor will fairly sail along over those whiskers, cutting them close and clean without nicking or scraping. It's easier on your face, easier on your razor blades, too. When you've finished, your face will have a cool, refreshed feeling that lingers for hours. No fooling, fellas, for a really solid comfort shave, switch to Fitch.
Men who say there's nothing like lather to give a smooth, swell shave will find Fitch's brush cream is tops. It gives a rich lather that stays moist longer, rinses off easier.
Next time, make it Fitch's shave cream, either brush or no brush type. Two handy economical sizes, 25 and 50 cents. And now here's Dick Powell again as Private Detective Richard Rogue. As I was saying, before Jim Doyle put in that pitch for Fitch, when the great outdoors called me down to the L7 Dude Ranch in the desert for a two-week vacation, I didn't expect to meet a dream girl like Lucia Logan. And I didn't expect to hear a writer, Brian Mills, threaten to kill his friend, Tom Harding, if he didn't stay away from his wife, Anne. And I didn't expect to make a discovery, which Lucia and I made on a sunrise horseback ride the next morning. We were just riding along, enjoying the dawn, when we saw the body of a man lying on the floor of the desert. I reached the body first.
Who is it, Richard?
It's Tom Harding, baby. Stay on your horse.
Is he unconscious?
No. He's been shot. He's dead.
Oh, Richard.
He was murdered and there's no gun here. Oh, why do things like this always happen to me?
Oh, Richard. Let's get back to the ranch. I'm scared.
Well, there's nothing to be scared of. The guy's dead.
But whoever shot him might still be around here, Richard.
Whoever shot him never was around here, baby. There's not a footprint in sight. And he was shot from long range, if I'm any good at my business.
But it's just getting light.
You remember last night, baby? Remember the moonlight? It didn't even take good shooting to kill this guy. Come in.
Hello, Rogue.
Oh, hi. You're Sheriff Kane, I take it, from the badge.
That's right. I just got back from looking at that body you found for me this morning.
Yeah?
He was shot with a .32-20 rifle, a deer gun.
No kidding. Wow. Have you figured out where the killer was when he did the shooting?
My boys are checking. You, going to help me out on this case, Rogue?
I'm on a vacation.
Well, I can use any help you want to give me. I'll swear you in as a deputy.
No. No thanks, Kane. Believe me, I want no part of it. I'm up here for a rest, and I'm going to have it.
Well, let me know if you change your mind.
I sure will.
Oh, by the way, any ideas on who would want to kill Hardy?
I just got here yesterday afternoon. I don't know anything about the guy.
But you heard his life threatened yesterday at the swimming pool, didn't you?
Oh, you know about that, huh?
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to know how much you weren't going to cooperate, Rogue.
Well, I knew somebody would tell you. Now just leave me out of it, Kane. I pass.
Well, sorry. I'll see you later, Rogue.
You mind if I sit here with you for dinner, Richard?
Well, hello. I've been looking for you, Luscious Lucia. Have a chair.
You've been avoiding me.
I've been avoiding everybody. I'm on a vacation. I don't want to get mixed up in that murder.
You know, everybody thinks Mr. Mills did it.
What do you mean, everybody thinks so?
Well, I think so. He threatened to kill Tom. You heard him.
Well, how about Mrs. Mills? She was having trouble with Harding, too, wasn't she?
Yes, but I still think it was that drunken husband of hers.
Oh, well, you do, huh? Yeah. You want a tip from me, baby?
What?
Don't be going around having hunches about murders. And if you have them, shut up about them. Stay out of it.
Well, the sheriff won't let anybody leave the ranch.
You came here for a week, didn't you? How about a ride in the morning?
We didn't get very far with that one this morning, did we?
Mr. Rogue?
Yeah? Oh, hello, Mills.
Could I see you for a moment, Mr. Rogue?
Well, I'd like to eat my dinner if they ever serve it.
Oh, perhaps later. Huh?
What do you want to see me about, Mills?
In your professional capacity, Mr. Rogue.
I'm not in my professional capacity.
Could I drop by your cabin later this evening?
Well, sure, if you can walk that far, I'll be there.
Thank you.
My goodness, you're popular. Just like being with a movie star.
Yeah. Say, how about that horseback ride in the morning? Want to try it again?
I'd love to. Such exciting things happen when I go for rides with you.
Come in. Oh, hello, Mills. Come in.
My wife is with me, Rogue.
Huh? Oh. How do you do, Mrs. Mills?
Hello.
Oh, well, wait a minute. I'll get these bottles off the chair and we can all sit down. These cabins weren't built for entertaining large parties, were they?
No. No, they weren't.
Oh. Well, now that we're all comfortable, Mills, what do you want to see me about? And the answer is no.
Please, Mr. Rogue, you don't even know what Brian was going to say.
You want me to get mixed up with the murder of Tom Harding, right?
Yes, I do, Rogue. And I'm willing to pay you well for your time.
I'm not interested. You see, this is the first vacation I've taken for about
4 years.
Rogue,
I'm being persecuted. That hick sheriff, he's been hounding me.
Sheriff Kane seems to be a pretty astute officer. Did you kill Harding, Mills?
No, he didn't. He was with me all that evening, all that night. I told the sheriff that. Brian was never out of my sight.
My wife can give me a perfect alibi, Rogue. I'm not the sort of man who kills people, and I'm not going to be hounded by a country sheriff.
Look, Mills, I'm sorry if you're being hounded, but I'm on a vacation, so
you,
I don't...
You must protect my husband, Mr. Rogue. He's not a murderer. The sheriff suspects him because he and Harding had words yesterday.
I heard the words. One of them was kill. You threatened to kill Harding, didn't you, Mills?
He was annoying my wife. And nobody would have ever heard of him if it hadn't been for me. A writer. Couldn't even write home for money.
Harding was a horrible pest, Mr. Rogue. He wouldn't let me alone.
Yeah, so I've heard. Oh, just what was the relationship between the two of you and Tom Harding?
He and I have been collaborating on plays for years. He was engaged to Anne when I married her a year ago. Since then, he's been giving us nothing but trouble.
I never loved him, but I couldn't convince him of that. And I know one thing. My husband didn't kill him.
I'll give you $500 to work on this case for me, Rogue.
What do you expect me to do?
Find the real murderer. Protect me. Convince that stupid sheriff I couldn't have killed Harding.
All right, give me the $500. Got it with you?
Yeah, I got it with me.
Okay, now here's what I'll do. I'll try to locate the real murderer, whether it's you or whoever it is. And when I find him, I'll turn him over to the sheriff. Understand?
Yes. But, Rogue, I didn't kill Tom Harding.
I don't know what it is about money that frays my moral fiber, but when the man handed me those nice, crisp $100 bills, all my bad intentions about enjoying my vacation disappeared like friends when I'm broke. After Brian Mills and his glamorous wife left, I smoked a cigarette and turned in. I was going riding at dawn. And when I got to the stables next morning, Lucia wasn't there yet, but Mrs. Mills was. She was wearing a riding habit to which no horse nor man would ever say nay, and of all things, a pair of pigskin play shoes. Oh, very fetching. And very peculiar.
Oh, hello, Mr. Rogue. You off for a morning ride?
Yes, I mentioned it last night. Remember?
Did you? Oh, I guess you did. I was so upset about Brian's trouble with the sheriff. You are going to help him, aren't you, Mr. Rogue? He's such a sweetheart, and scandal would ruin him.
Sure. Well, I took his money. I'm going to do what I can for him.
Oh, I hope it's taught him a lesson. He has a terrible temper when he's drinking. He should never have caused that scene at the pool.
You were the cause of that scene. What did Tom Harding have on you?
Nothing. We used to be good friends, that's all.
Oh, I see. You're not telling all you know, are you, Mrs. Mills?
Mr. Rogue, I want you to promise me something.
I'll listen.
You said last night that if you found incriminating evidence on my husband, you'd turn it over to the authorities.
Yeah, sure I will.
Please, Mr. Rogue, I have some money of my own. I want you to promise me that you'll tell me first if you find anything which makes you suspicious of Brian.
Hey, I don't get it. I thought he had an ironclad alibi.
He has. And besides, Brian couldn't kill anybody. I want to do everything I can to protect him from worry and persecution.
Look, I know how you feel, Mrs. Mills. If your husband isn't guilty, don't worry. We'll keep him out of it.
Hi, Richard.
Hello there, beautiful. You know Mrs. Mills?
We've met.
Oh.
Our horses are all ready. I've been out helping to saddle them.
Okay, let's go.
I don't like this, Richard. Climbing mountains on horseback. What do you think of Mrs. Mills?
I don't. There's a method in my madness, baby. I'm a working man today.
You are? Who are you working for?
Secret.
You've decided to get mixed up in that murder, haven't you?
Yep, something nice happened to me. That's what we're doing here at the spot where we located that body. I was siding in on this pile of rocks.
Are you being mysterious?
No, not especially. Today I'm being a detective. You see, Angel, Harding was shot with a deer gun.
Everybody knows that. I'm no detective, and I know that.
Okay, but do you know enough to figure out where the shot came from? By the way the body fell?
I don't even care. I came out for a horseback ride, and I want to enjoy it. This is no fun, walking a horse up the side of a mountain.
Well, we haven't far to go. Just stay with me a little longer.
And to think I turned down a date with that nice-looking blonde boy from San Francisco this morning.
Oh, look, are you going to stop beefing? Oh, boy.
Why are you stopping, Richard?
Oh, I just want to look around here a little bit. Oh, boy.
What are you looking for?
I'm prospecting for lead, maybe with a copper jacket. Come on, we're walking from here.
Oh, no.
Come on, I want to take a look behind that big rock up there.
I'm going to be so stiff, I won't be able to dance tonight.
Good. We'll set them all out someplace near the punch bowl.
Oh, no. I'm going to be with that blonde boy from San Francisco. And if you so much as ask me for a dance, I will... What's the matter?
Look. Look there on the ground behind that boulder.
Where? Oh, those little copper things. They're shells, aren't they?
They certainly are. Three empty shells. 32-20s. Look out, don't touch them. I want them for fingerprints.
Do you think they're the shells that killed Tom Harding?
Well, I'm willing to bet they are, baby. I think we just put the finger on a murderer.
Richard?
Yeah?
Look down there.
Where?
Way over there on that next peak. The sun's flashing on something.
Hmm? Oh. Oh, yeah, I see it. Somebody is looking us over with a pair of field glasses, I think. Probably the murderer. He wouldn't like to see us looking around up here.
What are you putting in your pocket?
Another little souvenir, see?
Oh.
Get on, baby. Get on. That was a rifle bullet. Get on here behind this rock.
Our story will continue in just a moment. But first, I'd like to remind you that the holiday season coming up will be the gayest in years, with peace on earth at last a reality. You ladies will undoubtedly want to keep in the spirit of things by accentuating your costumes and hairstyles with gay, sparkling jewelry so popular now. But remember, dull, drab-looking hair is not the kind of background you want for your jeweled hair accessories. Try using Fitch's saponified coconut oil shampoo to give your hair luster and a jewel-like sparkle. Fitch's saponified shampoo is made from mild coconut and pure vegetable oils, so it won't dry your hair. Even immediately after washing, your hair will be soft and shiny, easy to set into your favorite holiday hairstyle. Using Fitch's saponified shampoo will take only a few minutes from your busy day, too. Just a little shampoo makes mountains of fluffy, fragrant lather. And since Fitch's saponified shampoo contains its own patented rinsing agent, you won't have to bother with a special after rinse. To keep your hair looking radiantly lovely at its holiday best, use Fitch's saponified coconut oil shampoo. And now we return to Rogue's Gallery with Dick Powell as Private Detective Richard Rogue.
My thoughts were as bitter as a quinine sandwich as I ducked down behind that boulder and listened to the bullets sing. With the whole world to get killed in, why did Tom Harding have to pick out a dude ranch where I was sweating on a vacation? I reached into my pocket where I'd put the empty rifle bullets. The killer had fired at Harding, and they were there. I felt in my back pocket, and the other clue I had found was safe. I tried to pull Lucia down beside me just as I heard another bullet sing. Lucia screamed, and my heart did a handspring in my throat.
Oh, I'm shocked. Richard, why did I ever come with you?
Where did you get it? Where'd you get it? Let me see.
Right here, in the shoulder.
Well, get your hand away from there. Oh, you're not shot, youngster. You're not even bleeding.
I'm not?
Well, no. You must have just been hit with a chip of a rock or something, that's all. Now, come on, let's get out of here. Stay low now. I'll go first.
Oh, if I ever get back to that ranch alive, Richard Rogue, and if you ever speak to me again...
Oh, take it easy, baby. This will be something to tell our grandchildren about.
Our grandchildren? Richard Rogue, I never want to see you again.
We got back to our horses and got back to the ranch house all right. I made Lucia promise not to say a word to anybody until I had a chance to think this thing out. She promised. She would have promised anything to get rid of me. I went to my cabin to look over the stuff I'd found up there behind that boulder, and as I opened the door to my cabin... Ooh, I got it. Right behind the ear, as usual. I watched the stars go by for a while, and finally I grabbed on the tail of a comet and didn't let go until I was within dumping distance of cloud number 8. And there he was, my alter enemy, Ugor.
You're a little late tonight, Rogie.
Yeah, what happened?
Somebody wanted to know what you found up there on that mountain. You should have stuck to your vacation, Rogie.
Well, whoever it was, I'm going to have them over a barrel in a few minutes. Oh, I got to get back there. Help me.
Oh, you better rest a while.
I can't. So long, midget. See you next week.
So long, Rogie.
I came to and felt my head. It was really caved in. Whoever hit me used a piece of firewood. I looked in my pants pocket. The handkerchief I'd wrapped the empty cartridges in was gone. I grabbed at my back pocket and it was there. That other little clue I'd picked up there behind that boulder. I staggered to my feet and I headed for the main ranch house. I saw the sheriff's car outside. I wanted to talk with him.
Rogue! Hey, what's the matter? What's happened to you, man?
Oh, nothing much. Somebody just battered my brains out, that's all.
Oh.
Yeah, I want to talk with you, though. Come on.
Sure.
Well, I've been working on that murder for you.
Oh, swell.
Yeah, I was hired by one of the suspects.
Not Mills.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Oh, he's guilty as the devil, Rogue.
How do you figure?
Motive. He had a double-barreled one. First, Harding had been making up to his wife. Second, Harding and Mills had drawn up partnership papers, providing that if either one of them died, the other would be sole owner of anything they were working on.
Yeah?
Sure. I've been checking on them through the L.A. police. They've got a play that every picture company is bidding for and every Broadway producer is interested in, a gold mine. Well, now that Harding's dead, the play is the sole property of Mills. Those two motives, good enough for you?
Well, how about his alibi? His wife said he was never out of her sight. If that's true, he couldn't possibly have killed Harding.
Well, I got a call from his wife telling me to meet her at their cabin at noon. That's going to be the end of that alibi, I think. She sounded nervous and scared. I'm going over there now. Going with me?
Sure. Yeah, I'll go. I found the place where the killer waited for Harding to keep his date to be killed.
Oh, you did, huh?
Yeah, and I also found the casings from the bullets that killed him.
Well, where are they? Any fingerprints?
Somebody just knocked my brains out and took them from me.
How long ago?
Oh, it must have been a half an hour.
That's what you get for not cooperating with me, Rogue. You've cost me...
Hey, that came from the Mills cabin. Come on.
Right. Drop that gun,
Mrs. Mills.
I killed him. I killed my husband.
Yeah. Yeah, you sure have. Hey, what happened?
He had that rifle. He was going to kill me.
Why was he going to kill you? Lock the door, Kane. Huh? Oh, yeah. Now look, Mrs. Mills. You'll have to get a hold of yourself. Why was your husband going to kill you?
Because I knew I was going to tell the sheriff he wasn't with me last night. He was drinking. He took that rifle and left before Tom Harding was killed. I told him I couldn't go on lying.
Oh, that's why you sent for me. You were going to break his alibi.
Yes. He killed Tom. He was boasting about it to me. Oh, poor Ryan. I loved him, but I couldn't.
Is that that rifle there, 3220, Sheriff? Mm-hmm. It's the murder gun, all right. Well, looks like this case is all wrapped up, Rogue. I'm sorry, Mrs. Mills.
Now, look, Sheriff. This case is all wrapped up, all right, but not the way you think.
Hmm?
Mills never killed anybody.
Well, what do you mean?
I mean, Mrs. Mills missed something when she beat my brains out and shook me down for those cartridges a while ago.
Me? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you'd better have something to back that up, Rogue.
If I haven't, I'll take the rap. Look, Kane, you see those fancy ladies' cowboy boots over there in the corner?
Yeah.
Get away from them!
I got her. Bring those boots over here, Kane.
Let go of me!
Okay, Rogue. How about letting me in on it?
Well, half the heel's gone off the left boot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let go of me!
If you don't stand still, Mrs. Mills, I'm going to slug you. I've got that broken boot heel right here in my pocket, Kane, and I had a witness when I found it this afternoon. Up there behind that boulder where Mrs. Mills here waited for Tom Harding to keep his date with her and a couple of slugs from a 3220. Well, that's the end of the story. Mrs. Mills didn't want her husband, and she didn't want her old boyfriend. She just wanted to own that play everybody was fighting for. So when her husband threatened her boyfriend, she went into action. She invited Tom Harding to a rendezvous on the desert and shot him to death. And then when her husband was suspected of the crime, she gave him an alibi so she could kill him later and swear it was self-defense. She would have gotten away with it, too, if it hadn't have been for that half of boot heel. The minute I saw it lying there behind that boulder, I thought of her Western riding habit that morning and the pigskin play shoes. That started my massive intellect to work, and of course, when that happened, that was all. I also remembered the faint odor of her expensive perfume just before that log knocked my brains out. And, after the excitement was over and I had combed the lump out of my hair, I went over to see Luscious Lucia.
Oh, you.
Well, hello, dear. I just thought I'd drop over.
I told you I never wanted to see you again.
Oh, well, she was a little on the chubby side anyway. You know what I mean? This is Dick Powell again, ladies and gentlemen. Believe me, Richard Rogue is the only man who ever made money on a dude ranch vacation. We hope you enjoyed our story. Ray Buffum wrote it, Leith Stevens composed and conducted the music, and D. Engelbach produced and directed. Don't forget now, we all have got a date next Thursday night. We're going to do a little story about murder, arson, and a lovely lady. We call it Fortune and Furs. So make a date with us, will you? Thanks for listening, and good night, all. Now here's Jim Doyle.
Don't forget to tune in again next Thursday, same time. Oh, and by the way, be sure to see Dick Powell in his newest RKO picture, Cornered, at your local theater soon. And as I was saying, don't forget to tune in again next Thursday, same time, same station, when you will again hear Dick Powell as Richard Rogue in Rogue's Gallery. Remember, if dandruff is your problem, ask for Fitch's Dandruff Remover Shampoo. Removes dandruff the first time it is used. Fitch's Dandruff Remover Shampoo is the only shampoo whose guarantee to remove dandruff is backed by one of the world's largest insurance companies. This statement can be made by no other shampoo. Ask for Fitch's Dandruff Remover Shampoo at your drug or toilet goods counter, barber, or beauty shop. Fitch is spelled F-I-T-C-H.
That's going to do it for Case Closed this week. Hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from Let George Do It, Rogues Gallery, this podcast, and all the others at relicradio.com. You'll also find our Shoutcast stream there and our donate button. Like to help support this and all the shows, help keep them coming every week, give that a click. My thanks as always to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed.